I'm continuing in my reading of Hilaire Belloc's lovely essay, A Remaining Christmas. And I read it myself at the end of Boxing Day. All the household quiet and contented. You may hear my dog snoring in the background. Next morning, they sleep late, and the great Christmas dinner is at midday. It is a turkey and a plum pudding with holly in it, and everything conventional and therefore satisfactory is done. Crackers are pulled. The brandy is lit and poured over the pudding till the holly crackles in the flame and the curtains are drawn for a moment that the flames may be seen. This Christmas feast, so great that it may be said almost to fill the day, they may reprove who will, but for my part, I applaud. Now, you must not think that Christmas being over, the season and its glories are to an end. For in this house there is kept up the full custom of the 12 days, so that 12th day, the Epiphany, still has to its inhabitants its full and ancient meaning, as it had when Shakespeare wrote. The green is kept in its place in every room, and not a leaf of it must be moved until Epiphany morning. But on the other hand, not a leaf of it must remain in the house, nor the Christmas tree either, by Epiphany evening. It is all taken out and burnt in a special little coppice reserved for these good trees, which have done their Christmas duty. And now, after so many years, you might call it a little forest, for each tree has lived, bearing witness to the holy vitality of unbroken ritual and inherited things. In the midst of this season between Christmas and Twelfth Day comes the ceremony of the New Year, and this is how it is observed. On New Year's Eve, at about 11:45 at night, the master of the house and all that are with him go about from room to room, opening every door and window, however cold the weather be. For thus, they say, the old year and its burdens can go out and leave everything new for hope and for the youth of the coming time. And this also is a superstition, and of the best. Those who observe it trust that it is as old as Europe, and with roots stretching back into forgotten times. While this is going on, the bells in the church hard by are ringing out the old year. And when all the windows and doors have thus been opened and left wide, all those in the house go outside listening for the cessation of the chimes which comes just before the turn of the year. There is an odd silence of a few minutes, and watches are consulted, and to make certain of the time, for this house detests wireless and has not even a telephone. And the way they know the moment of midnight is by the boom of a gun which is fired at a town far off, but can always be heard. At that sound, the bells of the church clash out suddenly in new chords. The master of the house goes back into it with a piece of stone or earth from outside. All doors are shut, and the household, all of them, rich and poor, drink a glass of wine together to salute the new year. This, which I have just described, is not in a novel or in a play. It is real, and goes on as the ordinary habit of living men and women. I fear that set down thus in our terribly changing times, it must sound very strange, and perhaps in places grotesque. But to those who practice it, it is not only sacred, but normal, having in the whole of the complicated affair a sacramental quality and an effect of benediction, not to be despised. Indeed, modern men who lack such things lack sustenance, and our fathers who founded all those ritual observances were very wise. Man has a body as well as a soul, and the whole of man, soul and body, is nourished sanely by a multiplicity of observed traditional things.